RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. Well, listener, that was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia and the United States entrepreneurs make business deal before President Joko Widodo. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invites Obama, the United States President, in Digital Economy Cooperation. Now the news in detail. Indonesian and American entrepreneurs reached a business deal in the presence of President Joko Widodo, Jokowi, at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Washington, D.C. on Monday. President Joko Widodo was present at the office of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to attend a business roundtable discussion and gala dinner with some 250 entrepreneurs and policymakers from Indonesia and the United States. During a press conference at the Blair House in Washington, D.C., Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi noted on Sunday that economic issues were President Jokowi's main priority during the visit to the United States. In the meantime, Indonesian Capital Investment Coordinating Board PKPM Chief Frankie Sibarani remarked that for the several business deals announced or signed, the process had lasted a long time. The process involved in some of the deals was very lengthy, but especially for deals in the non-energy sector, the process has reached a mature stage for finalization. President Jokowi's visit to the United States is a good momentum for them. President Joko Widodo invited President Barack Obama to develop a digital economy, given Indonesia has huge potential in that field. President Jokowi, in a joint press statement with President Obama in Oval Office of White House, Washington, D.C., said that Indonesia was one of the countries with large digital economy. President Joko Widodo said that digital economy was the third issue that was discussed with President Obama in a meeting that lasted 1 hour, 10 minutes. On that occasion, he thanked President Obama, who had welcomed him and the delegation very well. According to him, Indonesia is the largest Muslim country and is the largest democracy in the world. Indonesian Islam is a moderate, modern, and tolerant. Indonesia welcomes partnership strategy, and it is a symbol of increased cooperation between Indonesia and the United States. United States believe that Islam in Indonesia is able to play an important role in maintaining democracy and pluralism in against radicalism and terrorism. Indonesia and Malaysia established cooperation in tourism promotion and development of Islamic of Sharia tourism in order to optimize market potential in the sector. Expert staff of Ministry of Tourism Samsulusa on joint seminar on Islamic tourism in Bandung Monday said that Indonesia has potential of business in Sharia tourism products to promote hotels, travel agencies, and restaurants based on Sharia. This was already done by Malaysian tourism to attract visits to the country. According to Samsul, Indonesia and Malaysia have similar tourism potential, and when it is developed through cooperation, the traffic of visit will be significant. The two countries were very possible to do collaborative development of tourism. The cooperation was also welcomed by Malaysian Tourism Minister Datuk Mas Emiyanti, who participated in the event. Cooperation between Malaysia and Indonesia can increase Islamic tourism promotion and give examples to other Islamic countries in tourism industry. According to Global Muslim Travel Index 2014, Malaysia was ranked as the top tourist destinations in Muslim world with the most traffic. PT Bank Rakyat Indonesia Persero TBK or BRI was a state-owned company that produced the greatest profit in first half of 2015. Consultant of state-owned enterprises Rinaldi Kasali in a press conference at Ministry of Enterprise Monday, October 26, said that the economic slowdown was pressing state-owned enterprises' revenue target achievement. However, in terms of profit, state-owned enterprises were still on target. In second position as largest profit producer was PT Telekomunikasi Indonesia Persero TBK, amounting to 10.98 trillion rupiah. It was followed by PT Bank Mandiri Persero TBK amounting to 10.34 trillion rupiah and PT Pertamina Persero amounting to 7.20 trillion rupiah. Other state-owned companies made a profit under 3 trillion rupiah in the same period. Total revenue of state-owned enterprises in the first half of 2015 reached 807.4 trillion rupiah, or 37% of revenue targets during 2015. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Railway project in Kalimantan was scheduled to be completed in 5 years, in 2020. The railway project and technopark required an investment of 72 trillion rupiah. Governor of East Kalimantan, Awang Farouk, said railway that would be built in Kalimantan was be used for rail passenger and freight transport. Furthermore, the groundbreaking was planned to be conducted on 17th November 2015 by President Joko Widodo. The construction of railway was an investment of a Russian railway company. Awang, after met Vice President in Jakarta Monday, October 26, said that railway in Kalimantan is railway for passenger and freight transport. It means it can be used to transport coal, oil and gas, forestry and CPO, and also all natural resources. Furthermore, Awang revealed that a number of obstacles already be solved, such as land acquisition and special railway operation regulation. According to him, Vice President Yusuf Kalla had stated that the regulations would be changed so that the investment project could be truly realized. A power plant as part of 35,000 megawatts program was ready to be built in Indonesia. A steam power plant in Cirebon with capacity of 1,000 megawatts ready to start its construction. Certainty of construction of the power plant was obtained after a signing of power purchase agreement between PT PLN Persero with a constructor, namely Consortium Marubeni Corporation, Indica Energy TBK, Samtan Co. Limited, Korea Midland Power Co. Limited, and Chubu Electric Power Co. Limited. The signing of the contract was conducted by President Director of PLN Sofyan Basir with President Director of Cirebon Energi Prasarana Heru Dewanto, who was representing the consortium at head office of PLN Jakarta Friday, October 23rd. This power plant was targeted to be in commercial operation in the first half of 2020. However, because the land had been acquired by good cooperation with Ministry of Environment and Forestry, then it indicated the construction can be faster. In 1 year, Cirebon Power Plant expansion was expected to generate electrical energy of 6.9 terawatt-hour. The electricity generated would be channeled through the substation of 500 kilovolt Mandirankan. The last item, Bandung City Government allocated 100 billion rupiah for construction of Smart City in 2016. This year, the budget for Smart City of Bandung was still 25 billion. According to a man who is familiarly called Emil, Smart City was built to convert manual affairs to digital. It started from demographic problems such as ID card registration and citizens' complaints. To be a smart city, he added, Bandung currently has 320 of 1,000 applications required. As an illustration, Singapore as a smart city had 1,600 applications from demography to traffic. Emil admitted, a smart city was not only required the existence of applications. However, infrastructure and human resources support were also required. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian and the United States entrepreneurs make business deal before President Joko Widodo. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invites Obama in digital economy cooperation. Indonesia and Malaysia collaborate to promote Sharia tourism. That was the news.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled No Freeport Talk in President Jokowi U.S. Visit Agenda. Listener, on Sunday, October 25, 2015, Indonesian President Joko Widodo left for the USA in a state visit at the invitation of President Barack Obama. The agenda of the first day of the visit in Washington, D.C. is to meet with Indonesian citizens and diaspora who live in the U.S. According to Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung, President Jokowi will travel to the western and eastern parts of the country. In the east, President Jokowi will formally meet with U.S. President Barack Obama, the head of parliament, ministers, and lobby groups to discuss the role of Indonesia and the U.S. in global arena. Various matters relating to politics, economy, cooperation between the two countries have also been in the agenda. In addition, there will be the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding and cooperation in the field of defense, transportation, and various others. But according to Pramono Anung, Freeport issue is not included in the agenda. In the western part of the U.S., President Joko Widodo is scheduled to visit Silicon Valley to meet with the digital and creative businesses. The president will speak to some CEOs of the major companies in this field, such as Google, Microsoft, and Apple. In essence, President Joko Widodo is making two kinds of visits in the U.S. One is very formal, and the other is informal. This is according to desire of the president, so his departure to the U.S. not only for a state visit, but also to address problems associated with the advancement of digital creative economy in Indonesia. The absence of discussions on PT Freeport Indonesia during President Joko Widodo's visit became interesting because reportedly the major American company had applied for an extension of work contract. PT Freeport is a U.S.-based mining company which acquired the concession rights of more than 100,000 hectares area in Papua through a contract work in 1961 and extended in 1991. The work contract will expire in 2020, but reportedly now the company had started to try to get another extension. Many parties, including the party supporting President Jokowi, PDIP, consider Freeport is deliberately trapping Joko Widodo administration to violate the Constitution, for extending the contract of work before the deadline is not in accordance with the regulations. President Jokowi has firmly said that until now there has been no discussion at all on Freeport contract extension. The Freeport affairs, he said, will be discussed later on in 2019. Regardless the outcome of President Joko Widodo's state visit to the U.S. this time, it is expected to bring good for both countries and also the world, of course. And listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with October 27, 1928, the second Indonesian Youth Congress begins in Jakarta. The first Indonesian Youth Congress was held from April the 30th to May the 2nd, 1926 in Jakarta. The first meeting stressed the importance of the unity of the youth to achieve independent Indonesia. After the successful first Congress, the second Youth Congress was held in Jakarta on October 27 and ended on October the 28th, 1928. It was attended by representatives of youth organization, individuals, Volksraad members, the press, and so on. The purpose of the second Congress was to spawn the ideals of all youth associations in Indonesia to discuss issues concerning the youth movement, strengthening the Indonesian nationality, and strengthen the feeling of unity of Indonesia. Over now to October 27, 1945. The establishment of the Bureau of Electricity and Gas later celebrated as the National Electricity Day. In 1927, the Dutch government formed a state electricity company that managed hydropowers in many regions in Indonesia. After the Dutch surrendered to the Japanese in World War II, the electricity and gas companies were also taken over by the Japanese. Later, with the fall of Japan into the hands of the Allies and the proclamation of Indonesian independence on August 17, 1945, the good opportunity was used by youth and electricity and gas workers to take over the gas and power companies from Japan. In September 1945, a delegation of workers of the electricity and gas companies had a meeting with the Central Indonesian National Committee chairman, who at the time was Kasman Singodimejo, to report the results of their struggle. Later on, the delegation, together with the leadership of the Central Indonesian National Committee, met President Sukarno to hand over power and gas companies to the government of the Republic of Indonesia. It was received by President Sukarno and then, with Government Decision No. 1 in 1945, formed the Bureau of Electricity and Gas on October 27, 1945, under the Ministry of Public Works and Energy. Later, October the 27th is always celebrated as the National Electricity Day. The last item is from October 27, 1958. The first Pakistani president Iskandar Mirza was toppled through a coup by General Ayub Khan. Mirza was officially elected president by the assembly in 1956. At the time of his presidency, Pakistan was politically unstable and characterized by four different prime ministers in the past 2 years. In 1958, recognizing that the constitution of 1956 had caused political instability, Mirza announced the enactment of emergency laws on October the 7th with a view to introducing a new constitution which was better suited to the nature of the people of Pakistan, he said. In November 1958, he raised the commander of the Army of Pakistan, Ayub Khan, as the administrator of an emergency. This measure hit back quickly because Ayub Khan forced Mirza to resign within 3 weeks after the enactment of the emergency laws and exiled him to England. Ayub Khan appointed himself president on October 27 after a bloodless coup. Mirza lived in exile in London until his death in 1969. Well, that was Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it's on Indonesia-Denmark cooperation in various fields. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Indonesia and Denmark agreed to increase cooperation in various fields. Discussions on four cooperations were conducted by Minister of Foreign Affairs of Denmark, Christian Jensen, during a visit to Jakarta and Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi. They discussed cooperation issues ranging from maritime to the problem of education. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said the visit of Minister Christian Jensen to Indonesia with Queen Margrethe II was the first time since Indonesia established diplomatic relations with Denmark 65 years ago. In addition, the arrival of Queen Margrethe II and Foreign Minister Christian Jensen was followed by 100 businessmen. According to Retno, in a bilateral meeting with Foreign Minister Christian Jensen, they focus on discussing four main issues, namely on cooperation in the field of maritime, interreligious dialogue, energy, and education. She explained both sides will seek to strengthen cooperation in the maritime field, ranging from connectivity, ports, infrastructure, until the development of aquaculture. For the energy sector, both will pursue cooperation, especially on renewable energy. Meanwhile, in the field of education, the two countries agreed to cooperate on college education. Currently, Indonesia has a partnership with 14 universities in Denmark. The Minister of Foreign Affairs of Denmark, Christian Jensen, said his visit, together with Queen of Denmark, Margrethe II, to Indonesia, aims to strengthen partnership between the two countries. He said both Denmark and Indonesia are maritime countries and they can learn from each other. He also expressed delight for being able to visit Istiqlal Mosque and met with some religious leader. He said Denmark can learn a lot from Indonesia about interfaith dialogue. Well, that was Focus today on Indonesia-Denmark cooperation in various fields. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian and American entrepreneurs reached a business deal in the presence of President Joko Widodo at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Washington, D.C. on Monday. President Joko Widodo was present at the office of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to attend a business roundtable discussion and gala dinner with some 250 entrepreneurs and policymakers from Indonesia and the United States. President Joko Widodo invited President Barack Obama to develop a digital economy, given Indonesia has huge potential in that field. President Joko Widodo, in a joint press statement with President Obama in Oval Office of White House, Washington, D.C., said that Indonesia was one of the countries with largest digital economy. Indonesia and Malaysia established cooperation in tourism promotion and development of Islamic or Sharia tourism in order to optimize market potential in the sector. Expert staff of Ministry of Tourism Samsul Usa on joint seminar on Islamic tourism in Bandung Monday said that Indonesia has potential of business in Sharia tourism products to promote hotels, travel agencies, and restaurants based on Sharia. PT Bank Rakyat Indonesia Persero Tbk or BRI was a state-owned company that produced the greatest profit in first half of 2015. Consultant of state-owned enterprises Renald Kasali in a press conference at Ministry of Enterprise Monday said that the economic slowdown was pressing state-owned enterprises' revenue target achievement. Railway project in Kalimantan was scheduled to be completed in 5 years in 2020. The railway project and technopark required an investment of 72 trillion rupiah. A power plant as part of 35,000 megawatts program was ready to be built in Indonesia. A steam power plant in Cirebon with capacity of 1 by 1,000 megawatt ready to start its construction. Certainty of construction of the power plant was obtained after a signing of power purchase agreement between PTPL and Persero with the contractor, namely Consortium Marubeni Corporation, Indica Energy, Samtan Co. Limited, Korea Midland Power Co. Limited, and Chubu Electric Power Co. Incorporation. Bandung City Government allocated 100 billion rupiah for construction of Smart City in 2016. This year, the budget for Smart City of Bandung was still 25 billion rupiah. According to Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil, Smart City was built to convert manual affairs to digital. It started from demographic problems such as ID card registration and citizens' complaints. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line through Voice of Indonesia PO Box 1157 Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder. Today, we will invite you to visit Borelia Village in central Sulawesi to watch Rego dance. So, stay tuned. Listeners, Borelia is a remote village in Pipikoro sub-district, Sigi Regency, Central Sulawesi. The old village is located on the slopes with an average of over 30% of slope. The village is inhabited by native people of Pipikoro sub-district, namely Topo Uma. In the local language, Topo Uma means people who used Uma's language or dialect. Most of them are farmers. They plant coffee and chocolate or cocoa. Although Christianity has entered into the village, the local people still maintain their local wisdom that still contains mysticism. One of the mysticism traditions is the Rego dance. Listener, the Rego dance is one of the mysticism from Topo Uma society. Rego or Rego is dancing in circle formation and at the same time singing long verses in Uma Tua language. Uma Tua language is no longer used in daily conversation of local people. Rego verses are not the same, inappropriate with the event. The Rego dance is played after the harvest. So the lyric is about the process to open the field, planting, waiting, until harvesting. If Rego dance is played to entertain the modern family, the verses contains the human life cycle from birth to death and tells how good the person was during her or his life. When Rego is played for modern family, it usually performed after the religious ceremony. Besides it is played after harvest and morn, the Rego dance is also played when welcoming guests. The verses which is sung to welcome the guest is about the happiness. When welcoming the guest, Rego dance usually performed in Lobo or the customs hall. The dance is played by dozens of male and female dancers. The male dancers wear Halili costumes or Kulawi traditional costumes. The male dancers also wearing guma or macheti and siga or headband in their hats. Listeners, Rego dance has become one of the local art that almost extinct. However, in 2000, the art began to turn back until now. Borrelia is the only place that still perform Rego dance. Once it has been revived, the dance then be known in other areas outside Pipikoro sub-district. Moreover, in the last few years, Rego dance represents Sigi Region C to be performed in Bali, Yogyakarta and Lombok. Australia will be the first country outside Indonesia which enjoying the magic of the Rego dance, the local art of Topo Uma Society. Well, we invite you to come to Borrelia, Sigi Regency, Central Sulawesi to watch Rego dance. Listeners, that was the end of Indonesian Wonder with the topic Rego Dance from Borrelia Village in Central Sulawesi. Tomorrow we will meet with many other interesting topics. Goodbye and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is mengembalikan barang, or in English, returning goods. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice and follow after me. Mengembalikan. Mengembalikan. In English, to return. Barang. Barang. Goods. Pulang kantor. Pulang kantor. After office. Toko sepatu. Toko sepatu, shoe store. Mengapa, mengapa, why. Sabtu, Sabtu, Saturday. Membeli, membeli, to buy. Sepatu, sepatu, shoes. Anak perempuan, anak perempuan, daughter. Ulang tahun, ulang tahun, birthday. Kekecilan, terlalu kecil. Kekecilan, terlalu kecil, too small. Penjual, penjual, seller. Terlalu lama, too long. membawa, membawa, to bring. Bon pembelian, receipt. Ikut, ikut, to follow or to come. Next is a conversation on mengembalikan barang, or in English, returning goods. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Anna and Erna at the office. Pulang kantor, saya mau ke toko sepatu. Pulang kantor, saya mau ke toko sepatu. In English, after office, I'm going to the shoe store. Saya mau mengembalikan sepatu. Saya mau mengembalikan sepatu. I want to return some shoes. Mengapa? Mengapa? Why? Apakah bisa dikembalikan? Apakah bisa dikembalikan? Can you return them? Ya, pada hari Sabtu saya membeli sepatu untuk anak perempuan saya. Ya, pada hari Sabtu saya membeli sepatu untuk anak perempuan saya. Yes, on Saturday I bought some shoes for my daughter. Karena anak perempuan saya berulang tahun. Karena anak perempuan saya berulang tahun. Because she was having her birthday. Tetapi ternyata kekecilan. Tetapi ternyata kekecilan. But they were too small. Kata penjualnya, bisa dikembalikan asal tidak terlalu lama. Kata penjualnya, bisa dikembalikan asal tidak terlalu lama. The storekeeper said they can be returned if it is not too long. Dan membawa bon pembeliannya. Dan membawa bon pembeliannya. And I must bring the receipt. Baiklah kalau begitu, saya ikut dengan kamu. Baiklah kalau begitu, saya ikut dengan kamu. Okay then, in that case, I'll come with you. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you an Indonesian pop singer, Isyana Saraswati. Well listeners, to initiate the segment of the Music Corner, let's listen to the song entitled Tak Pernah Setengah Hati by Isyana Saraswati. Happy listening.
Abis ini Omer lu sama Akbar ya di belakang ya? Oh ya udah, gua ke belakang.
Tak pernah setengah hati mencintaimu. Ku memiliki dirimu setulus-tulusnya jiwa. Ku serahkan semua hanya untukmu. Tak pernah aku niati
ku selalu tetap sengaja aku buat kau menangis.
Memiliki, mencintai dirimu, kasihku tak akan
Listener, Isyana Saraswati was born in Bandung on May 2, 1993. She is a musician, singer, and a songwriter. Isyana graduated from Nanyang Academy of Fine Art, Singapore, and the Royal College of Music, United Kingdom. Isyana composing her own songs, and she ever became an opera singer in Singapore. On the age of 18, Isyana Saraswati has invited Singaporean public attention in the Asia-Pacific Electron Festival in 2011. She successfully won the grand prize. Isyana was also chosen as one of 15 world electron composers who performed at Yamaha Electron Concourse 2012 in Tokyo, Japan. Now he is also known as the Indonesian soprano. Well, listener, before we continue to know about the beautiful singer, let's listen to the next song entitled Tetap Dalam Jiwa by Isyana Saraswati. Happy listening.
Jadi seperti ini pada akhirnya, semua waktu yang pernah kita lewati bersama nyata hilang dan sirna. Hitam putih berlalu, janji kita menunggu, tapi kita tak mampu. Seribu satu cara kita lewati untuk dapatkan semua jawaban ini. Bila memang harus berpisah, aku akan tetap setia. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada di dalam jiwa. Tak bisa untuk teruskan dunia kita berbeda. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada. Terjadi dan simpan untuk jadi story. Hitam putih berlalu, janji kita menunggu, tapi kita tak mampu. Seribu satu cara kita lewati untuk dapatkan semua jawaban ini. Bila memang harus
Isyana Saraswati is a multi-talented girl. Yes, she just entering into the music industry by releasing the single Keep Being You. However, she has myriad of achievements and talents. Isyana is also able to master some musical instruments such as piano, electronic organ, flute, and saxophone. She has higher vocal abilities with kind of soprano and pop. Her name became popular after she uploaded cover video on YouTube. In 2013, Isyana successfully earned her cum laude diploma. The achievement was then brought her to London, England, where she also regained full scholarship to pursue advanced studies in Bachelor of Music with Honours Funded Degree Program at Royal College of Music, London. In January, she will return to London and will be graduated in May. Well, listeners, to conclude our music corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Cinta Kan Membawamu Kembali and Kasih Tak Sampai. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Tiba saat mengerti jerit suara hati letih meski mencoba melabuhkan rasa yang ada. Mohon tinggal sejenak, lupa. Sepi-sepi cinta kan membawamu kembali di sini menuai rindu basuh peri bawa serta diri. Oh,
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Sedapat mungkin terciptakan rasa keinginan saling memiliki. Namun bila itu semua dapat terwujud dalam satu ikatan cinta, sudah seperti yang terbayang, menyatukan perasaan kita. Tetaplah menjadi bintang di langit, agar cinta kita kan abadi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOA Indonesia.